Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors here. And notice the key word there is we. That means, doesn't mean the producer and I, no. We talk about this, you know, this highly technical operation here, and, you know, I have to operate the board to, you know, to get your phone calls, receive your phone calls. Brian has to answer the phone and make sure all the technical stuff is up to date and, you know, spot on time wise and that type of thing. And we just got to, you know, we work together as a well-oiled machine here. Very intricate and complicated relationship. But you, on the other hand, dial your phone, and magically your voice appears in my headsets, and we go on the air with whatever you'd like to talk about. And you do that by simply picking up your phone and touching the correct buttons. And in this case, it would be area code 410 WCBM 680. Numerically, that's 410-922-6680. And if you're living in Maryland and yet outside the local Baltimore dialing area, we have provided an opportunity for you to make a toll-free phone call. Significantly doesn't matter on your cell phone, but if you are calling from a landline and do face long-distance charges from your carrier, well, you can call toll-free 800-922-6680. So those are the phone numbers. 410-922-6680 and 1-800-922-6680. And you're welcome to give us a jingle here and talk about whatever you'd like to talk about regarding the outdoors. So have you been fishing, or have you been turkey hunting, or have you made some wildlife observations or something like that? We'd love to talk to you about that. A number of folks have been watching the president and first lady, and I'm not talking about Barack and Michelle Obama. I'm talking about the American bald eagles who are nested at the National Arboretum, and you've been watching as their eggs hatched, as their eaglets grow, and now have really done surprisingly well in a short amount of time. You've watched the father and the mother both bring back fish to the, Mr. President, bring the fish back to, you know, the mud shad and that type of thing, back to the nest, and both of them feed the eaglets and watch them as they grow. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, and you have your computer there in front of you, please feel free to Google DC Eagle Cam. And you will see two views there of an eagle's nest. And there are these nesting site websites are you know, pretty rampant. There was a set in of eagles in Hanover, Pennsylvania, who one egg hatched, the eaglet died, the other egg never hatched. So we don't know what happened there. There's one in Pittsburgh. There's one in Blackwater. There's a camera on a set of ospreys down on the Kent Island. So, you know, you can Google these eagle cams. Just you do that, and you'll see a whole host of different ones. Well, the one in Pittsburgh the other day, people were aghast when one or the other of the adult eagles brought back a cat to feed their eaglets. And you know, if you want to see that online, that's fine. It's just a natural thing. I mean, these are top-tier predators, and you know, they eat squirrels and rabbits and ducks and roadkill and fish and that type of thing. And so, you know, there just happened to be an opportunity to take a cat in a rural area somewhere out around Pittsburgh, and they took it. People were all upset. You know, oh, they killed a cat. How could these eagles do that? The symbol of our country. Oh my gosh, yeah, it made for a lot of online aghast people who were you know, thinking these are just, yeah, oh, these are birds that we can watch in the wild. Well, guess what they do in the wild? They kill stuff and they eat it. So, just an aside there. Just thought that would be a nice way to start the show, talking about, you know, eagles eating a cat on camera. Why not? We've seen worse things online. You ever watch CSI? Give me a break. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Number of emails this week from the Department of Natural Resources, the Maryland Black Bear Stamp and the Migratory Bird Stamp design contests were won. The Black Bear Stamp was won by a Pennsylvania man, a fellow by the name of Larry Smail, S-M-A-I-L. He was chosen by a panel of judges at the annual Ward World Championship Wildfowl Carving Competition and Art Festival in Ocean City, Maryland. Like to have been there, but had things to do. Larry Smail, S-M-A-I-L, from Katanning, won the 20th Annual Maryland Black Bear Conservation Stamp Design Contest with his painting Moving Through, of a black bear walking through woods and tall grasses. I'm not sure why this next sentence makes sense, but it does. I'm excited to have won, Oliver said. I came across the flyer and I figured I enjoyed painting bears, so I decided to take a shot at it. I don't know who Oliver is, but the guy's name is Larry Smail. Interesting website. Guy's a photographer, far better photographer than artist, in my own personal humble opinion. But he somehow won the Bear Stamp Award, and why he is quoted as Oliver in this DNR press release, I don't know. I don't. But if you'd like to see his website, it's LarrySmailArt.com, LarrySmailArt.com, LarrySmailArt. I don't know if you know this or not, but proceeds from the sale of the Black Bear Conservation Stamps and other related items like prints and things like that are used to compensate Maryland farmers experiencing agricultural damage caused by black bears. These programs or proceeds are added to the Black Bear Compensation Fund established by the Maryland General Assembly. And you can go online and purchase stamps and that type of thing. ShopDNR.com. The Maryland Waterfowl Stamp, it was a painting of two Drake Northern Shovelers, which is a pretty duck. I don't know how good they taste, but I've shot a couple of, I think maybe one shoveler in my life. Mr. Richard Menard from Hollywood, down in southern Maryland, won the 42nd Annual Maryland Migratory Game Bird Stamp with his painting titled Brothers of Two Northern Shovelers. Very nice design. First time I've won. I'm very happy. He said, Menard, anything I can do to help with conservation is a good thing. And there you are. Okay, so kudos to those folks. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. It was an interesting week last week. I'm working mostly on getting the new issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly on the street. We'll go to the printers today. Been visiting a lot of folks from around the state. Didn't do any turkey hunting. We did go fishing last Sunday, however. Robin and I went to Red Bridges. We didn't get there early. We didn't get there too early at all, but when we got there, it was unoccupied. I think there might have been one or two other fellows there, but they were kind of downstream, so we stood on the pad and right there at the overflow and had a wonderful day. Robin hasn't been fishing in about 15 years, and she caught her first hickory shad ever. And her second, and third, and fourth, and then I caught one, and then she caught a little tiny rockfish, and her fifth, and her sixth, and then she foul hooked a gudgeon, spot tail shiner, or whatever it was, and then I caught one, and then She caught her sixth and her seventh and her eighth and her ninth. Then I caught one, and then she caught her tenth. And then I caught one, and then she caught her 11th and her 12th and her 13th. And I caught a crappy. And then we went home. Yeah, 13 to 3, if you were counting. So, you know, anyway, first time fishing 15 years against the experienced angler. She said, I showed you where they were. I just kept casting in the same spot. Let's talk to Nathan on the Eastern Shore. Good morning, Nathan. How are you? Thanks for calling at that particular time.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good.
Hey, I got a quick question for you.
All right.
You know, a little while back there in Caroline County where I reside, we had a commissioner's meeting where we had passed a rifle season for deer.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't heard anything about it for a while. Did it ever get ratified by Annapolis? Is it going to make it?
No, it failed, actually, Nathan. Now, who is we and who had the meeting with the county commissioners?
Me, along with 20 other residents of Caroline County, had attended this commissioner's meeting. It was passed by the commissioners at that time.
Were there any local delegates or senators there, any local lawmakers from Annapolis?
Not at that meeting, no,
uh-huh.
I was aware of.
Right. Well, no, that measure failed, as did the increased Sunday hunting provision that was put forth by the I believe it was Addie Eckerd. I don't know if Johnny Motz was involved in that or not. But second year in a row, Caroline County failed to have Sunday hunting expanded in the General Assembly. And then the rifle thing. Are you a farmer there, Nathan? Is that what you're thinking about for crop damage or deer management permits?
Well, this wasn't regarding the permit. This is actually supposed to be just a change in the rulings on weapon use during the firearm season.
Yeah, I understand it. Let's see, in the 2015 session, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Southern Maryland in 2014 they passed a bill. Senator Dyson had proposed a very ill-crafted bill for two counties in Southern Maryland, which was actually three, Calvert, St. Mary's, and Charles. Calvert opted out of it. And what it did was it opened the antlerless deer season for the entire month of January through, I think it was March 29th, whatever the last Saturday in March or last Sunday in March was. And it provided for any getting out of your truck.
Yeah.
It provided for anyone to kill an antlerless deer during those 3 months, and you know, and with the normal bag limits and everything else established on the regular seasons. And what it also did was provided for farmers with deer management permits to shoot your deer year round using a shotgun.
Okay.
Using a firearm, and the hunting community was outraged. So what happened was they said the farmers weren't allowed to shoot deer on their crop damage permits on Sundays. So the bill was so poorly written that when DNR implemented the regulations, they just said, you know, you can hunt deer 7 days a week. Well, the Horse Council, the Maryland Horse Council, who has been against Sunday hunting, was aghast. They didn't realize that the law didn't, you know, stop recreational hunters from shooting deer on Sundays. So in 2015, last year, they came back and said, we want to repeal that law. And the Maryland Hunting Coalition said, hey, we agree with you. We don't think it's good management, you know, and it's a waste of money, because they were looking at a couple of $100,000 to train, listen to this, to train farmers how to shoot deer with rifles.
Oh.
Okay. So that was license money that was, in the hunting community's opinion, ill spent.
Uh-huh.
So a meeting was called to negotiate this bill, and the way it worked was, the Maryland Hunting Coalition advocate took the lead on the negotiations, and farming community came to the table down there, Charles County Farm Bureau, St. Mary's County Farm Bureau, and said, you know, we want more deer killed. So we said, well, what do you want? And they said, we want the use of rifles to use, you know, harvest deer. We can reach out and touch them further away. Okay. What else do you want? We want the commercial sale of venison. We want to kill a deer and sell it. We said, the Hunting Coalition said no. So one of the farmers, our contention is that, you know, during March, you got deer that are, you know, a month or two away from dropping their fawns. And one of the farmers said, yeah, we like that. We call that a threefer. You shoot a pregnant doe and you kill the doe and you kill the two fawns too. Well, the Horse Council was aghast. The women that represented the Horse Council were visibly shaken at that statement. So, long story short, we negotiated that the season would end, just have a normal deer season like we've had for decades, and that the only concession that would be made would be that farmers could harvest deer year-round, and they could use a rifle. And the law was repealed. So recreational, you know, hunters were kind of happy about that because the guys that were managing their properties for quality deer, you know, their big bucks would lose their horns and, you know, wander off their property and somebody would shoot a, you know, 4.5-year-old buck that used to be a 10-point for a doe. And so, you know, they were kind of upset about it. And the hunting community didn't like the idea that these guys were shooting these late term deer. And quite frankly, there weren't that many deer killed in that season anyway. So I said all that to say this. Once we agreed that the Southern Maryland farmers could use it in St. Mary's in Charles County, that they could use rifles. There was no regulation. There was nothing put in the law to do that. The law was just repealed, and that was a good thing. So this year, when the delegations from those two counties came back to the General Assembly, they proposed the use of rifles for deer management permits in those two Southern Maryland counties. And this is a growing trend. Frederick County passed it, I think, in 15 and others. So, we did not oppose that because we negotiated that settlement to eliminate that 90-day, we called it the slaughter season. On the heels of that, then I think that's kind of where, you know, same line of thinking kind of inspired that, Caroline County meeting and that type of thing, and that consequently died. So it was not passed by the General Assembly. I don't even know if it was heard. Quite frankly, and it was heard in the committees, but I don't know if the committees even voted on it. If it died on the floor, if it didn't make it out of committee. So yeah. So your Caroline County Sunday hunting bill did not make it. And nor did the use of rifles. I said a lot there, but you know, there's a story behind the story. So,
all right. Well, thank you for the update, then.
Yeah, you got it, Nathan. So, right. You know, you guys seem to have a lot of deer in Caroline County.
Yeah.
You know, you also have a rampant. You used to have a rampant poaching ring over there that I think got busted up here not too long ago.
Okay, well, I haven't heard too much about that, but hopefully you're right on that.
Yeah, there was. I think there were three or four young men. Teenagers, I think they were all under the age of 20 or maybe just in their 20s, had gone out. They were having a little contest, and I think they killed a couple of hundred deer between them.
Wow.
And were posting them on social media and, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah, it was very interesting.
All right,
Nathan, I appreciate the call, though. Thank you. I hope I explained it correctly. Thank you. Bye-bye. There he goes. Chuck in Hampstead. Uh-oh. Chuck in Hampstead, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You killed turkey yet?
No. I was calling to update you on my season so far. Last Saturday, didn't see or hear nothing.
Right.
Then I went out Thursday, and nice morning for a nap because it was foggy, and didn't really brighten up. Didn't hear anything until 10 o'clock, and it started to rain, too.
Right.
But I had a cobbler come within 40 yards of me, but I'm out with my bow and I didn't want to take a shot that far out.
Right.
With my bow.
Right.
But he stood and kept looking at my decoys and gobbling his head off. but he didn't want to have nothing to do with him. He wouldn't come any closer than about 40 yards.
Wow. Wow. Did you have any motion on your decoys, Chuck?
Just if they, the way they're putting the ground, they bounce around on their...
On the stake. They move with the wind. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I got it.
But it was an exciting morning. I mean, I sat there and watched him for at least 10 minutes, 40 yards out. He was watching my decoys.
That's cool. I always like the encounters. I've never closed a deal on one. And by the way, a former fisheries director, Tom O'Connell, killed one. We got a nice picture, beautiful bird in Caroline County. So we just want to say congrats to him. And so did George Nitzel. George is a very active supporter of the Maryland Hunting Coalition. He shot his first one, a really nice mature gobbler, yesterday or 2 days ago. And I haven't gotten a picture yet, but called and congratulated them last night. So,
mine was on Thursday, and
yep.
It was raining hard. Then it stood there watching my decoys, and it finally started to mosey on up the hill, and I stopped him about 70 yards away, with my call.
Yeah.
And he was standing up there, gobbling his head off, but it wouldn't come back down the hill. He went up over the hill, got near my friend Bob's cabin.
Yeah.
He saw him, and he was inside, and he saw him, but he also said he saw 8 turkeys that were heading down the hill towards me.
Oh, wow.
But the gobbler rounded them up and took them up the hill.
That's what they do. That's what they're doing. They're gathering their harems to them this time of year. So good.
But he said he's been hearing one down about the same spot for the last 3 or 4 days, gobbling around 10 o'clock. So
you'll get him.
Hopefully he'll be there today. So.
You'll get him. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, then I'll have my first one.
Good luck for you. Good luck, man. Do you have a special broadhead on that crossbow?
No, I just have my deer killer.
Uh-huh.
Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper. Oh, I love those Grim Reapers, man. They're good. Yep, I've killed a number of deer with those. So.
Well, every one I killed last year, all I did was change the blades after I killed them.
Yep. They're great. They're a great broadhead, no question.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Hopefully I'll be calling next week telling you I'm sending you pictures.
You and I, I look forward to that. Thank you, buddy.
Right.
See ya.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. There goes Chuck. Wow, he's all excited. Saw a nice gobbler. That's great. Okay. Hey, you know what? Next weekend is the 35th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum. Next Friday evening, it all starts at 6 o'clock till 9, and it's 6th, 7th, and 8th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Admission is just $10 for the whole weekend, and kids under 12 are admitted free with a paying adult. It's the, there'll be carving competitions, there'll be retrievers doing demonstrations, a raptor display, sculling comp. Wait a minute, a retriever demonstration. Wonder who's running for office in the dog world that we're going to have a demonstration. Not sure. Anyway, live raptor display, sculling competition, a silent auction, and much more featuring community and nonprofit organizations. 100 decoy carvers and wildlife artists and photographers and others will be on hand to showcase their work, much of it for sale. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center. You can learn about the great hunting traditions and waterfowl traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum. That's May 6th, 7th, and 8th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or give them a call, 410-939-3739. 939-3739. We'll see you at the Decoy Festival. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bayline next to Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, if you enjoy gardening, I always recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, and hanging baskets, too. They're colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, and all of the beautiful, beautiful plants for your house. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too. That's Papa John's Farm. That's right, in Severn, New Cut Road. They're ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon and cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers, and even herbs if you want to grow your own herbs for your own crock-pot cooking. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections, or you can call them at 410-969-5909. Now think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. Mother's Day is coming Sunday, May 8th, so get mom down there this week, or, you know, show up next weekend, get her some nice plants for her, you know, for her outside, you know, outside look at, or planter boxes, or even inside, whatever. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. That's 969-5909. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. All right, let me tell you about the fish bones. Switch to fishing here a little bit. For great fishing tackle and crabbing supplies and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fish Bones Bait and Tackle. I love the name, Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, you take Route 100 to the end. You hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. You go 2.5 miles, 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fish Bones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find, and you're going to be eating a lot of crabs this year. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Last night I heard this politician talking about a brand new mission. Liked his plan, but it came undone when it got around to goddamn guns. Well, I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country.
Little Hank Jr. there. That's right. God is great, and God is great, and guns are good. I think that's a line from there somewhere. Well, our president has acted now to say that whenever the smart gun technology comes up, that's what we got to have now in our guns. In other words, going to price the guns out of the hands of the average individual. So. Not only is our president moving against our Second Amendment rights, but, some stuff came out this past week on the other, his former Secretary of State and her stand on guns. Yeah. Take a look at that. Get a little bit politically active. Get a little bit familiar with what these people want to do, not for you, but to you. Hey, Charles County man is convicted of dumping. If you remember this guy, he had a bunch of catfish or something, and he dumped fish and geese in separate cases brought by the Maryland Natural Resources Police. He was fined $1,000, sentenced to 2 years probation after he's found guilty of illegal dumping. This character's name was Reed Nathaniel Franklin of Benedict. He was charged in February after officers were called to private property where a pile of dead geese and fish were dumped. Officers thought fish looked similar to those seen in Franklin's truck on February 3rd. When he was charged with poaching, they questioned people in the neighborhood, and other sources came to the conclusion that he was responsible. When questioned, Franklin acknowledged that he dumped the fish. Franklin was also found guilty in March in Charles County District Court for failing to have a title fish license in relation to the dumping incident. In a separate incident, Mr. Franklin was found guilty in the same court of exceeding the daily bag limit for geese and hunting without a license and migratory bird stamp after officers found him and two other hunters with 24 birds. Yeah, the geese were donated to charity. Then a Pennsylvania man was charged last Saturday with hunting over bait after officers on surveillance in Emmitsburg, caught him guiding a juvenile who violated several regulations. How about this character? Guiding a juvenile. During their investigation, the two officers discovered that the youth hunter baited turkeys, had a shotgun capable of holding more than three shells, was using improper shot size, did not report his kill, and did not record the turkey, a juvenile male, or a Jake, on his big game hunting record. Wonderful guiding experience for this young man. Benjamin Francis Miller Sr. of Fairfield admitted that he and the juvenile had placed bait in the area before the youth hunt day. Gee, I wonder if it was... if it was his own child. Officers reminded Miller of his responsibilities as a mentor and issued warnings to the juvenile. Good plan. Miller is scheduled to appear in Frederick County District Court on June 2nd. If found guilty of the baiting charge, he could be fined as much as $1,500. I hope he is. Now in Garrett County, another fellow by the name of Paul William Riley, 46, of Oakland, was charged Sunday with hunting turkey over bait. Officers on patrol noticed shelled corn on the ground and in a feeder within 30 feet of a hunting cabin on Audley Riley Road near Potomac Garrett State Forest. When they met with Riley and checked the cabin, they found a loaded shotgun and turkey calls near an open window facing the baited area. Draw your own conclusions, ladies and gentlemen. My guess is he was sitting in the house, thought it was a perfect blind, call the turkeys into the feeder, kapow, 30-yard shot. Riley scheduled to appear in Garrett County District Court on June 2nd. If found guilty, he could be fined as much as $1,500. Well, I hope all of them are. A little song dedicated to the ne'er-do-wells. Just good old boys.
Never meaning no harm.
That's the attitude of our court system.
It's all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. Well, that's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
I hate poachers. I really do. Thank God for the Poaching Restitution Act. Soon to be signed by the governor. Hopefully he does it before my birthday. I'll be away on my birthday. All right. Got a nice little email here from my buddy John B. Hey, I tuned in just as you were talking about the bald eagles and the cat. I was making some toast and coffee. Wasn't sure if you'd mention what kind of cat does a bald eagle eat. I was shocked. Nobody's called to express how upsetting that would be to watch. I, for one, am sorry I missed it. Cats have been chasing and eating birds for years. It's about time the birds got back at them. Have a great day, buddy. Well, you know, good point. Good point. Excellent point, I think, actually, John. So glad to see it. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We'd love to hear from you. We talked about the poachers. We talked about shooting deer with rifles in Caroline County. Talked about the bird stamps. We did hear back from a friend who went to the meeting at the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge the other night. I told you about last Saturday. The idea is that they want to increase the bag limit and the season down there at Blackwater, and he was surprised that there were not many hunters in attendance. You know, Blackwater wants to do this, increase the number of huntable firearms days in a refuge. They're proposing increasing the number of firearms days from 15 to 19 during the 2016-17 hunting season. That doesn't sound like much, four more days, but keep in mind it's 20% more days if you want to use it that way. They want to increase the deer harvest in the Key Wallace Corridor. They propose to increase hunting opportunities on Wildlife Drive. Between the entrance and the refuge headquarters building in the past years, the Wildlife Drive was only open to hunting for two quota shotgun days. For the 16-17 season, they proposed the Wildlife Drive be open to hunting and hence closed to the general public for a total of 8 days. And then they want to increase hunter participation. Participation in harvest during the 15-16 antlerless only non-quota muzzleloader was low compared to the other hunt opportunities to increase hunter participation. We propose allowing harvest on both genders during this 3-day opportunity. As this would be the only location within the state a hunter could harvest either sex, we believe it will draw more interest, realizing that higher hunter numbers and subsequent harvest compared to prior antlerless years. And then they want to change the first quota shotgun day to coincide with the opening day of the state season. So here were some numbers that were given at the meeting to the participants, and we want to thank our buddy Dave Seacott for these numbers. The kill on Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge has increased 60% since the last comprehensive hunting plan was done in 2006, 10 years ago. The deer population studies on the refuge indicated the corresponding increases in the sick deer population over the same time. How do you do that? How do you increase the kill by 60% and then increase the population if you're killing more deer? Well, apparently, sika deer are prolific little buggers, even though they only give usually birth to one fawn a year. Apparently, their numbers are increasing and increasing and increasing. Over the last 10 years, the sika harvest on Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge has averaged 51.2% antlerless kill. For the 2015-16 hunting season, there were 7.29 antlered and 10.12 antlerless deer, both sika deer and whitetail, taken per square mile on Blackwater. 7 deer per square mile, 7 antlered, that's 17.41 deer taken per square mile. That's not a lot. For the 2015-16 hunting season, there were 3.6 antlered and 5.8 antlerless deer and whitetail taken per square mile on private lands in southern Dorchester. So apparently there are more deer on Blackwater. Sika harvest for 2015-16 season was 126 stags, 10 button bucks, and 189 antlerless for a total of 325 sika deer taken off of Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge. And then the whitetail harvest for the 15-16 season last year was 29 bucks, 5 button bucks, and 11 antlerless for a total of 45 whitetail deer. So what those numbers have to do with anything is uncertain. Just an illustration of, you know, how it all worked out over, you know, that's not bad, really. 45 whitetail and 325 sika in 15 days of hunting. Not bad at all, I don't think. And, of course, then it's unlimited in, as far as the archery season is concerned. So, there you go. Blackwater in the news. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Why wait? Call now. Maybe this will catch your attention. There were two British fishermen decided to go to Thailand and fish for the Siamese carp. Siam. Where was Siam? What is what used to be Siam? Is it Iraq or Iran? I can't remember. One or the other. Who cares? Anyway, these guys went to Taiwan to catch a Siamese carp. Apparently they get a little bigger than the carp around here. Ron Hopper from the British city of Hull wasn't with them. Ron Hopper from Hull. He wasn't with them. He had died of cancer before he could go on the trip with his friends Paul Fairbrass and Cliff Dale. But before Mr. Hopper's death, he reportedly agreed to let his 65-year-old friends take the ashes after he was cremated to be used in a special bait mix. So, Mr. Fairbrass and Mr. Dale used the special Purple Ronnie bait, and they caught a carp. Not just any carp, however. Here's what they said. We were gutted that Ron couldn't come on the trip because he was really looking forward to it, but he was definitely with us when we caught that fish, Fairbrass told the Telegraph, British newspaper. It seemed like it was destiny that we would use Ronnie to catch one of the biggest fish in the lake. That's what he would have wanted. Mr. Hopper, the deceased wife, Judith, reportedly scattered half his ashes on beaches across the Caribbean island of Grenada, and his fisherman buddies took the other half and mixed it in with the special Purple Ronnie bait. World record for Siamese carp is 134 pounds, but the International Game Fishing Association stopped keeping tabs on the fish years ago as they live in protected waters. Apparently this was protected waters. And these fellows reeled in a Siamese carp caught on their friend's ashes, mixed in with the dough ball, probably, of some sort, nature, or kind, of 180 pounds. 180-pound Siamese carp. After we caught this fish, I looked up to the heavens and said, thank you, Ron, Mr. Dale said. So, interesting little story. Not a bad plan for your ashes if you're going to have any left. I'm telling you what, I had a lot of material here from wide and varied sources, and I'm disappointed that there weren't more phone calls. But I understand people were fishing and turkey hunting and all that this morning. We did not do our annual reservoir trip because of the cold weather and the rain and the northeast winds this week. But hopefully this coming week we'll be able to do that again. We've got the new issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly headed to the printers today, so that should be out by the end of this coming week as well. That would be the summer issue. We've posted the waterfowl seasons in there. We talked a little bit about rabbits. There's a great recipe for braised rabbits going to be in there. Couple little articles of individuals that have taken nice animals. There's an in-depth discussion of what happened to the Sunday hunting bill the background and so forth. That would what has lovingly become known as the 1030 bill, Senate Bill 1061, and its failure. There's also a in-depth story on what happened behind the Poaching Restitution Act and how that is going to impact poachers in our state. We've got a notice in there about the upcoming dove hunt on September 27th. If you'd love to participate in that, we'd love to have you. We talked to the caterer last night, and we're gonna have a pig picking. Yep, gonna roast a hog on the barbecue on September 27th, and the 50 people and whoever else happens to be there that are going to be shooting that event. We've got some openings. So, you know, you want to get online on the Maryland Hunting Coalition, mdhuntingcoalition.org site. And, you can sign up for that. You can just use your credit card right there on the website, or you can send a check, for $150 made out to the Maryland Hunting Coalition to P.O. Box 451, Sykesville, Maryland, 21784. If anybody missed that, I'll give it again. Here we go. Maryland Hunting Coalition, P.O. Box 451, Sykesville, Maryland, S-Y-K-E-S-V-I-L-L-E, 21784. We're going to meet in Cecil County. We're going to go to the designated eating area where the pig picking will be set up. We'll be having some wonderful lunch, and we'll be having some great fellowship there. People we've never met, and we'll go right there to the dove fields, and we'll spread out across the northern part of the Upper Shore and hunt those doves over sunflowers and have a wonderful time. And if you need any help on that, just email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Hey, it's time for me to tell you about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop. You know, Clyde's have everything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing and hunting, of course. And it's the last day to purchase a Browning firearm and get an 8% rebate, basically to cover your sales tax. They're calling it, you know, the Freedom Second Amendment Tax Relief Day or whatever they want to call it. But you get an 8% rebate on any Browning firearm that you purchase. And the best place to do that is Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde's is 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. They have all the wonderful firearms for, you know, like the BT-99 for trap and skeet, like the Satori Sporting Clays shotgun. They've got the BPS pump. They've got the A5. They've got all the wonderful Browning firearms that you could use for hunting and for self-protection and for shotgun sports as well. So why not check it out at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. Hey, and check out the brand-new sign at Clyde's. They're really happy about their sign. It's a beautiful, beautiful sign. Check it out during the day or at night. It's even more spectacular. Clyde Sports Shop, 410-242-6108. Fishing Hotline, 247-3474-247-FISH. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint mat. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Hey, if you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or even a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 35th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Howard E. Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 6th, Saturday, May 7th, and Sunday, May 8th. Admission is only $10 for the entire weekend, and kids under 12 are admitted free with a paying adult. You're going to have a decoy carving competition, a retriever demonstration, a live raptor display, a sculling competition, a silent auction, and much more, of course, featuring community and nonprofit organizations. There'll be 100 decoy carvers and wildlife artists and photographers, and others will be on hand to showcase their work, much of it for sale. The family-friendly festival has great food, lots to see and do. There will be free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Haverty Grace Decoy Museum on May 6th, 7th, and 8th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739, 939-3739. We'll see you at the Decoy Festival.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, wow. There we go. Music is back on. I guess I delayed just a little bit too long to do that last commercial break, but Brian wasn't quite panic-stricken enough. So we got it in before the music started. Here we go. We're going to wrap it up. So we hope you enjoyed this hour. We had a good time talking with you. Kinda. But next hour is coming up after the news. More information and hopefully your phone calls. 410-WCBM 680 is our contact number. Get on the line right after the news, and you'll be first up. My name's Alan Ellis, and it's time for me to say to you, get out, stay safe.